Hi everyone, I'm Gary Noll. Always nice to share this hour with you. It's going to be an empower one. We're going to challenge the FBI. I'm also going to challenge Anthony Fauci. I'm going to challenge the mainstream media. I'm going to challenge the lies that we've been told that have adversely impacted us. And I'm going to share a lot of positive information. For example, from Shahid University of Medical Sciences, coenzyme Q10 will lower pro-inflammatory factors across the board, meaning the more coenzyme Q10 you include in your diet, the less inflammation is going to happen in your body. That's just one of many studies I'm going to share. We're also going to go to some comments today, and I'm going to ask you to share your points of view on our talkback segment. We're going to play a short clip from Dr. Corey and Senator Johnson about the impact of censorship in the fight against COVID-19. Also from Bill Maher, what's happening with the drought in California? Interesting perspective. An African-American father challenges critical race theory at a school board meeting. New information on the Wuhan 15,000 bat samples in their virus database all wiped off the internet by the Chinese government. Why isn't that an issue that someone should be concerned about? But I'm going to follow that with Joe Rogan and a discussion with Crystal Ball and Sagar Njeti about Fauci's lying about gain-of-function research. Should Fauci be allowed to have a separate standard? He can lie before Congress, lie to the American public, and not be held accountable, where you and I would be. As you see, we have a lot of different approaches we're taking to get to the truth, and we begin right now. We always begin with health. This is a double-blind trial, and it looks at how do you reduce the markers if you have hypertension. A lot of people do. In the United States, tens of millions have high blood pressure. And over a 12-week period, those who took coenzyme Q10 experienced an increase in adiponectin, which is a protein secreted by adipose tissue that has an anti-inflammatory effect and which has been found to reduce high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease. So this was a big deal, and it's a very important issue because if you can take 100 milligrams, that's a little amount, because that's what women were given in this study versus a placebo for 12 weeks, they reduce their C-reactive protein. That's a marker of inflammation for the heart. They reduce cytokine interleukin-2, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor. These are all pro-inflammatories. You don't want these elevated. It's like turning up the heat on a stove. Well, coenzyme Q10 reduced all of those. That's terrific. So coenzyme Q10 at 100 milligrams did that. For a long time, those of us in the environmental movement, the health environmental movement in particular, have tried to see the association between the things we consume, the water we drink and the air we breathe, and the things we eat from our soil, how it impacts us if it's contaminated. Well, the studies are overwhelming. Thousands of studies now show that you are impacted by these chemicals, which is one reason to go clean and local, because the cleaner a food, meaning organic, no pesticides, the healthier the soil. The cleaner the air, the healthier lungs. And, of course, cleaner the water, that's the single largest component of your body. About anywhere from the average person, 60 to 72% of our body is water. And we're dehydrated as a nation. Every year you hear about seniors dying from dehydration. That shouldn't happen. Even in nursing homes and hospitals, that shouldn't happen, but it does. This is the newest study out of Barcelona University in Spain. And it says the exposure to nature, clean air, looking at water, being around a healthy environment reduced the mental problems in those suffering from COVID-19, or at least suffering from the fear of COVID-19. So once again, get into clean environments. That means rural America. That means green space. Now, if you can't, then get to parks and go to a park and spend some time each day in a park. And bring plants into your house so that the air you're breathing has been filtered through the plants. The plants give you oxygen. They take up heavy metals. So it's a nice exchange. And try wherever possible to go to farmers markets and buy locally grown. It lowers the carbon footprint. Less hands touching that food. Fresher. Especially look for vine ripened, because it's going to taste different because the enzymes in the produce has gone to full maturation, which allows then the taste to be enhanced because the smell and the taste come from the enzymes ripening. That's why when you go to a store or market and you feel a peach and it's heavy, and that heaviness means that it's got all the juices in it, and that juice is what's giving it the flavor. So shop locally and grow as much as you can yourself. It helps you, especially when you're stressed. That's always important. Now, following that, but a little differently, New York University has just shown that heavy metals in pesticides, in flame retardants, in the way that we eat, is the biggest contributor to a lower IQ. Adverse outcomes from childhood exposure to lead and mercury are on the decline in the United States, likely due to decades of restrictions on the use of heavy metals. But despite decreased levels, exposure to these and other toxic chemicals, especially flame retardants and pesticides, still result in more than a million cases of intellectual disability in the United States because of these exposures. Because these, when they go in the body, they're permanent. It's very hard to ever get them out of your body, and they disrupt all kinds of neurological activity. And that can cause cognitive decline, even as a child. Once again, go more natural. Go with natural coverings without being sprayed. And by the way, almost all your carpets, if you're getting them from another country, have been sprayed with formaldehyde, embalming fluid, to kill off the moths that would otherwise eat holes in it. So try to go to local carpets and don't buy particle wood, press wood that's pieces glued together with a toxic chemical that outgasses for a year or more. Stainless steel is always good. Iron is good. Porcelain is good. Go with materials to cook, prepare food. Stay away from microwave, oven, plastic. Stay away from that. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. Harvard Medical School has a study published in the peer-reviewed journal Cancer Discovery that red meat promotes DNA damage, and that's associated with mutation in colorectal cancer patients. So now there is a mechanistic link between when you eat that red meat that you see advertised all the time on television and colorectal cancer development. The question is, with all the ads that are being shown to people 24/7 and all the food ads, with a few exceptions, like an orange juice ad, that's okay. But all these other ones, it's all things that promote inflammation, and that causes disease. Can we be deprogrammed enough as a society to make healthier choices? The answer is, of course, because every day people are making healthier choices, sometimes out of necessity. Sometimes they have no choice. The doctor says, if you don't stop eating the sugar, you know, you're going to end up with severe diabetes symptoms. I know that for a fact because two of my closest friends both died because of diabetes. And yet when I had them on a protocol, blood sugar was normal, no inflammation in their body, walking fine, healthy. But when they're on their own, and people have to live on their own, make their own choices, they chose to go to the comforts. How many of those comforts are based upon our conditioned response? Well, Dr. Marios Giannakis, MD, PhD, professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, showed the damage that occurs when you eat red meat. So just remember this. There is no such thing as a harmless red meat. in any form. I don't care how you cook it, what food it's placed into, meatballs or, a sandwich. It's bad. There is no such thing as healthy meat, organic or not. So just stay away from it. It helps protect your DNA. Also, there was a study at the University of Aegean in Greece that showed that if you stuck with an average Mediterranean diet, your daily polyphenol intake, that's your fruits and vegetables, decreased your waist and hip circumference. So you're less likely to have a bad body as far as high fat. The higher the fat, especially waist fat, hip fat, belly fat, the greater likelihood of a heart attack or stroke. And finally, from University of Michigan, whole natural fiber works best to protect your gut mucosal layer. So quite simply, dietary fiber, if it's really the real dietary fiber, not this liquid stuff, plays an important role in protecting your gut's mucosal layer. And that will help you have healthier, a mucosal barrier, means a healthier intestine, better bacteria, better immune response throughout your body. So when you're eating an apple, you're getting good fiber. Whole oats, good fiber. Millet, great fiber. Grapes, terrific fiber, because grape skin also has other nutrients that benefit you from heart attacks and cancer. And for those of you who've had trouble because you've had too much sugar in the diet, especially high fructose corn syrup, you want to start cleaning up your body. When it comes to cleansing the liver and the gallbladder and the disorders that they frequently have, a group of flavoligans extracted from milk thistle, Silmarillion, has been traditionally used. Let me spell that for you. Silmarin. It is really strong. This comes from milk thistle, and it's a friend to your liver. And its anti-inflammatory properties are terrific. And it's the actual bioactive component of this medicinal plant. There's lots of different chemicals all coming together in that plant that cleanses, helps your liver. So, fight liver inflammation, fight liver damage. There's lots of ways of doing it. Green juices are top of the list. Vitamin C is also up there. Vitamin D3, absolutely. But then make sure that you're using this on a daily basis for about a month or two. And it protects from toxins such as Emma toxin, and it's produced by a mushroom, which can cause death if ingested. And so also big protection is also N-acetylcysteine, which they're trying to outlaw right now, even though there are thousands of studies on its benefit. And it reduces liver fibrosis. It helps prevent liver cancer and can contributes to liver regeneration, because most people are not aware the liver is one organ of the body that actually can rejuvenate a lot of itself. So just something to think about. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 14 minutes into our program. When we come back, I'm going to do a brief commentary, and then I'd like your response on it concerning the FBI. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you who are joining us now. I'm Gary Nall. I'm going to postpone for just a few moments my commentary on the FBI. And instead, I want you to call in and share your points of view. I'm going to give you some feedback first. We're going to go to a brief clip by one of the most respected cardiologists in the United States, who has published hundreds of peer-reviewed articles, very orthodox, pro-vaccine. He's an orthodox in every way. And yet, because of his findings that ivermectin was beneficial, he was censored. He was at, and Dr. Corey being interviewed just to, I think it was yesterday morning, and someone sent me the clip. I want you to hear what they have to say. Then I have some brand new studies just out today that will follow up with that. Then your phone call. We'll go to the clip now.
All of the evidence behind this, it shows that our agencies have ignored drugs as such as this, and it's caused incalculable harm.
And first this morning, the potentially deadly impact of censorship and media cover-ups. As evidence mounts that big tech and corporate media have silenced truthful facts about COVID to the detriment of the American people. My first guests this morning were studying and questioning potential treatments for COVID-19 throughout the pandemic. And despite evidence of safety and efficacy of early treatment from at least one drug that's been on the market for treating other sicknesses, any mention of either ivermectin or, to a lesser extent, hydroxychloroquine was met with attacks and takedowns by political operatives and some media. Such mentions or posts were censored by social media. This week, the Department of Health and Human Services reported it will spend more than $3 billion on developing and manufacturing antiviral treatments to treat COVID-19. In fact, Anthony Fauci was quoted as saying pills taken at home to treat COVID would be a powerful tool in our effort to prevent death from COVID. But to date, more than 600,000 Americans have already died in the last year. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson was among the first to question why certain medicines were being ignored or criticized to treat COVID-19. He joins me right now, along with Dr. Pierre Corey, an infectious disease specialist whose testimony before Senator Johnson's committee was censored by Google's YouTube. Both men made the case that early treatment of COVID, even for those with mild symptoms, prevents later hospitalizations. So why weren't we doing it? Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here this morning. Good to have you both.
You.
And Dr. Corey, let me play a bit of your testimony in front of Senator Johnson's committee on treating COVID. Watch this.
Mountains of data have emerged from many centers and countries around the world showing the miraculous effectiveness of ivermectin. In early outpatient treatment, we have three randomized controlled trials and multiple observation as well as case series showing that if you take ivermectin, the need for hospitalization and death will decrease.
That was in December of 2020. This morning we have breaking news that everything you said was right from this new paper out of Science on this. Senator, what happened here?
Well, good morning, Maria. Well, Dr. Fauci happened. Media arrogance, social media censorship happened. That clip, that testimony from Dr. Corey, powerful testimony, was viewed by 8 million Americans who weren't satisfied with the NIH guidelines of basically do nothing. They wanted early treatment. It was pulled by YouTube. But we all know that Dr. Fauci, he's not a modest man. You know, if you question what he did, apparently you're questioning science itself. But you can't look at how he stage managed the COVID crisis and call it anywhere close to a success. 600,000 people died, trillions of dollars of economic devastation. He ignored early treatment. He probably helped sabotage the use of some of these things. And Maria, you have to understand that Dr. Fauci, people in the health agencies, the media, the social media, they will never admit they were wrong on this, because if they do, they're going to have to admit that literally hundreds of thousands of people didn't have to lose their lives, but for their censorship, their arrogance, and Dr. Fauci's mismanagement.
This is unbelievable. Dr. Corey, walk us through ivermectin. Now, ivermectin is a drug made by Merck. It has been on the market for a long time. Now, this new news that we got on Friday that Fauci says they're looking for treatments for COVID now, one of the treatments that they're looking at is made by Merck. So the ivermectin Merck drug is off patent, right? The pharma companies aren't making any money on that because it's off patent. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's correct. I mean, they do not make money off of ivermectin anymore. That's an old drug. Many different manufacturers make it. Briefly, that is one of the oldest and safest drugs we have. I mean, it's been given all around the world for decades, 4 billion doses. That testimony that you played that I gave in December, the evidence was convincing then. It's now overwhelming. Just yesterday, a paper by some of the top researchers in the world concluded that ivermectin leads to a massive reduction in the amount of patients who are dying. We're getting reports from all over the world, from Mexico, that put it into their public health policy, that huge numbers of patients are avoiding hospitalization and death in Argentina and then certain states in India. We know it's working. It's working around the world. And nobody in the United States is hearing about it.
So does this boil down to money then, Dr. Corey? I mean, this drug made by Merck, ivermectin, is off patent. They're not making any money on it anymore. But now Fauci says he's looking at a drug that's going to be a patented drug made by Merck. Aren't the underlying chemicals the same? So now they're going to have that on patent so that they could make a huge profit on it?
Well, that is so clearly it's a glaring example of the system that we're in, which is that for-profit medicines are favored to almost the total exclusion of non-profit medicines. And so you see all of this money being thrown at pharmaceutical companies to develop new therapies when we already have existing repurposed drugs that are highly effective. They will never develop a drug that is more effective than ivermectin. I find it absurd. Our government just committed over $4 billion in two different areas this week to try to find an oral antiviral early treatment therapy. We have it now. We can save so many lives. This is a treatable disease. We've identified that drug, and it needs to be systematically deployed throughout the healthcare system.
Unbelievable. And also absurd, Senator John.
Okay. Here's what we can add to that. Brand new article just out today from the American Journal of Therapeutics, a highly respected peer-reviewed journal. Quote, review of the emerging evidence demonstrating the efficacy of ivermectin in the prophylaxis, that means prevention and treatment of COVID-19. And then it goes into the conclusions. Quote, meta-analysis based on 18 randomized controlled treatment trials of ivermectin in COVID-19 have found large, statistically significant reductions in mortality, time to clinical recovery, and time to viral clearance. Furthermore, results from numerous controlled prophylaxis trials report significantly reduced risks of contracting COVID-19 with the regular use of ivermectin. Finally, the many examples of ivermectin distribution campaigns leading to rapid population-wide decrease in mortality and morbidity indicative that an oral agent effective in all phases of COVID-19 has been identified. Wow. So that's just today. So, do you remember a year ago we were telling about ivermectin preventatively? We gave you 9 FDA-approved drugs in common use, including hydroxychloroquine, and that these had statistically significant, we're talking about big time significance, 70, 80, 90% efficacy. If you took the drug early on, you would not get hospitalized. You wouldn't die. Even if you were in hospital, if they gave you the proper drug combinations, let's say hydroxychloroquine with zinc and azithromycin, the antibiotic, and they didn't give you a real high dose because it's cumulative, they were giving it too high doses, hydroxychloroquine, but it gave you low doses, like 400 milligrams, you had a very high chance of surviving. None of that. Remember, they wouldn't allow any drug at all. They wouldn't allow vitamin D, and yet there are over 12 studies in the peer-reviewed literature showing vitamin D can reduce a person going from beginning of COVID to advanced COVID more than any vaccine, and yet not a word. So now we find out the maker of ivermectin, it's off patent. It cost under a penny a pill. We found that out. Under a penny a pill. So now Fauci relegates $4 billion to the same companies to make up a new drug. So here is my question. By any reasonable assumption, based upon the actual science of hundreds of studies, most appearing in peer-reviewed journals, high-quality studies, that's what this I just concluded was, that there is no treatment, none, zero, that anyone in medicine has come up with that can beat what these 18 randomized trials, and you heard, listen again, the high point, quote, from the study, that from numerous controlled prophylaxis trials, significant reduction risk of contracting COVID. Mind you, the vaccines were never tested to prevent contraction of COVID. So anyone promoting otherwise is lying to you. That's fraud. But this does prevent COVID from getting you. And finally, the many examples, ivermectin distribution. So when you go around the world and you see countries that are using ivermectin prophylactically on their whole population, they have the lowest death rates. In Africa, that's the case. In India, it's the case. In South America, it's also the case. And yet, Anthony Fauci personally and all the other people at the head of the CDC, the FDA, U.S. Public Health Services, all these individuals, in my opinion, are responsible for at least 300,000 deaths, minimally 100,000 deaths. We're talking just the United States, and worldwide, probably 2 to 3 million deaths. In my personal opinion, that counts as medical genocide. In my personal opinion, even though we are not held legally by the Nuremberg codes, the top 10 rules of Nuremberg, that you can't give a drug to someone or any medical application unless you have proof that it's safe and effective for that. And yet, here they've used the American public and the world public as human guinea pigs, and we're seeing the statistics. And this morning, I looked at the latest statistics and the European Union statistics, and they're off the chart. Now, here's another one. This is from trial site staff. Quote, UK-based meta-analysis peer-reviewed and published suggests ivermectin, a key public health weapon in the war against COVID. All right, that's separate. So, and it's just one after the other after the other. And yet, not once has anyone in power, not once has the media, and to the contrary, the New York Times and its reporters and the Washington Post and MSNBC and ABC, they have all worked from the idea that you can't try anything unless it's approved, which is a vaccine or an experimental drug. And yet we've had these. And by the way, why don't you check the legal references that you could not get an FDA emergency use authorization, which is not approval, it's just emergency use authorization, if it could be proven that you had therapeutic drugs that could do the same thing. So first they had to conspire to destroy any reference to the legitimacy of these alternative approaches. These are orthodox alternative approaches. We're not talking about, you've not heard me mention intravenous ozone and high-dose vitamin C with quercetin and all the other things that I would give. No, we're talking about orthodox approaches. They had to destroy that. And they did. They published a false, fraudulent article in the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet. And then they had to retract those, but the media didn't retract its condemnation. So the media has been the attack dogs for Anthony Fauci and protects him as we speak. So what do you believe should be the consequences or any consequences? What are your thoughts on what could be the largest single medical scandal in American history? And it's right there. We've exposed it. We were right. And think how many people would be alive today if they took our advice a year ago. Everything we said has been right. Everything they've said has been wrong. The New York Times hasn't been right about anything. They've been wrong about everything, and they're not held accountable. What does that tell you about the deep state? What does it tell you about the power players in Washington and our institutions? And the average person without a science or investigative background, they're not going to find this. Well, talking about what they're not finding, quote, from LifeSite, scientists who support Wuhan lab leak theory against Fauci threatened with career loss. Special report. Growing reports that researchers have been intimidated into silence. Quote, an Indian scholar and veteran political commentator has stated that critics of the natural origins theory, meaning it wasn't manipulated, just the bat cross species caused all this, have been prevented from promoting the lab leak theory due to the threat of Dr. Fauci and his gang destroying their careers. Professor Madhav Das Nalapat, the director of geopolitics and international relations at UNESCO, peace chair at Manipal University in India, made the comments earlier this month on one of India's English language news channels. Okay. It's coming out now, strong-arming behind the scenes. So what are your thoughts? Here are the number to call in, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and to give us your views, whatever they are. Because right now, Anthony Fauci is almost a godlike creation living on Mount Zeus, and nobody can criticize him unless you want to be attacked. And the major Silicon Valley platforms only promote what the official view is and attack anyone who says otherwise. I'd like to hear what you – by the way, most of the people – we've had an enormous number of people downloading the programs. I think Jesse said her latest figure was 88,000. Just boom, downloaded. So thank you for sharing and caring about getting to the truth. And you can download from our archives. Let me give you our archive number. And it's a new number because the old one is so full that we had to expand it. Please write this down. 631-359-9463. 631-359-9463. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The moment you call in, we'll go to that. Now, before we go to our next, I want to play this segment from Joe Rogan with Crystal Ball and Sagar Njeti. This is a little longer segment than what I just played, but it really hits a lot of the points that the mainstream media is not allowing you to talk about. We'll not have any of these people on to discuss or debate it. Mind you, there's over 100,000 top scientists and physicians around the world. We're not talking about activists, just scientists, medical doctors who are willing to go public. These are all orthodox people. And you don't see a one debated by Fauci or any of the pro people, and they're all denigrated and attacked by Facebook, Twitter, Google. They're run off. So here's what Joe Rogan has to say about this.
Not just China. And this is the theory, but the thing about the lab leak and why I actually want to deculture. You had Josh Rogan on, and he did an excellent job.
Really good job.
That guy's
amazing.
What he expertly shows is if this is true, the lab leak hypothesis is true. Yes, the Chinese covered it up. Guess what? The Chinese are liars, and they covered up SARS, and they've covered up basically everything that's come out of their country for the last like 30 years. That's not a shocker. The shocker is Dr. Anthony Fauci, 2017, reverses the ban on gain of function research, directs this funding to EcoHealth Alliance, Dr. Peter Daszak, who then gives it to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for the study of novel bat coronaviruses. And then when the pandemic turns around, we take Dr. Peter Daszak as the only American to join the World Health Organization's investigation team into whether coronavirus leaked from a lab. And on 60 Minutes, I forget who was interviewing him, she goes, well, wait, so how did you verify it? Did you just ask them? And he goes, well, what else can we do? Because he's also half British. And that's how he goes, well, what else can we do? We could read emails. We could also see that Peter Daszak, as of 2 days ago, has been caught lying. He said there were no live bats inside of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Sky News Australia just revealed 2017 video that bats were present inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the deputy director says, before this, China had no experience in BSL-4 laboratory. That's the highest level safety for a laboratory. But we have been here, and I don't want to misquote him, but he said something along the lines of creating new viruses, synthesizing new viruses. And what Fauci and Dr. Xi, who's the head of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, they're playing games. Fauci and Rand Paul, when Rand Paul was pressing him, he was like, we did not fund gain of function research. He's trying to define it as explicitly what is on the record as him funding. Dr. Xi is the same thing. We were not doing gain of function research.
So this is
actually
amazing. Yeah. I don't know if you caught. She did an email interview with the New York Times, which was mostly, it was just, the standard state party line from China. But they asked her about gain-of-function research, and I'm sure your listeners mostly know that gain-of-function research is basically modifying these to see how can we make these pathogens more dangerous, right? And it's in and of itself very dangerous because these things do leak from labs relatively routinely. And she says, we were not doing gain-of-function research because what we were doing wasn't making it more virulent or dangerous. It was seeing if it could jump from species to species. I'm sorry. isn't that like the definition of making it more dangerous for us? Seeing if you can make it jump into our species? Like, that seems like that's pretty dangerous. So they're trying to play these games saying it's not technically gain of function.
How does
research.
Fauci get away with standing there under oath and saying
media? Right? It's all media pressure, which is he's the god.
It's the anti-Trump derangement syndrome, right? Fauci was put up as like the anti-Trump guy, and he became this liberal icon. I mean, there are these signs in Washington, D.C. of people.
Okay. Sorry for that. We didn't realize there was a curse word there. But you're starting to see how the game is rigged. No one in the mainstream media criticized the fact that the person who was funding the Wuhan lab, who had been to the Wuhan lab, who had bragged about doing gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, and then lied and said that there were no bats stored at the Wuhan lab, and now over the weekend comes out a video showing bats at the Wuhan lab. All right? Everything they're saying has been lied. Then suddenly the Chinese government deletes 15 to 20,000 studies about the bats that they've had there and the unique characteristics of them, as if they had to do that. And then the guy, Peter Daszak, comes back and says, well, we did our interview and the World Health Organization was fine with it. The trouble is there were enough independent voices within medicine who said, no, this was a fraud. And so they had to pull back. Well, the whole World Health Organization is a fraud. And we've written an article on it. Read the article we wrote on the World Health Organization. Oh, and by the way, the CDC and the FDA and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Merck. These are all completely documented. Go to GaryAnnell.com and download them, share them. So this just more on this topic. All right, but it gets worse. And just to show you how much they knew and lied about, I'm going to play you another clip. And this is we won't go into great depth on this clip. And then we'll take calls because I was just told we have calls coming in. Bob from Brooklyn. We'll be with you in just a moment. And someone from California, I was told, is on there. I still got to get to my FBI commentary. But this is just one more of the lies. Why am I playing this? Because if they lied about one thing, then they can lie about anything. So why aren't we paying attention to this? This is the example. Wuhan, 15,000 bat samples in their virus database are all wiped from the internet. Well, if you have nothing to hide, why would you do that? Here's what they have to say.
15,000 bat samples. The Wuhan Institute of Virology's virus databases were all wiped from the internet starting on September 12, 2019.
I asked the question in front of the whole team, both sides, while we're at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, about the so-called missing database. What we were told by Xu Jiangli was that it had been... There'd been hacking attempts on it, about 3,000 hacking attempts, and they took down this Excel spreadsheet database. Absolutely reasonable. We did not ask to see the data.
It is shocking. The World Health Organization didn't even ask for access to this database, which in 2017 may have had over 15,000 bat samples. Yeah. In a December 2020 tweet, he said, no bats were sent to Wuhan lab for genetic analysis of viruses collected in the field. That's not how science works. We collect bat samples, send them to the lab. We release bats where we catch them. This is a widely circulated conspiracy theory. This piece describes work I'm the lead on and labs I've collaborated with for 15 years. They do not have live or dead bats in them. There is no evidence anywhere that this happened. It's an error that I hope will be corrected. Well, tonight, explosive footage from inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology indicates his statements are wrong. Daszak is also the scientist who organized, drafted, and signed the letter in The Lancet that said it was a conspiracy to suggest the virus may have leaked from a lab. I discovered that Daszak was invited to brief the FBI and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence at a meeting on February 3rd, 2020. He's also now leading The Lancet's own investigation into the origins issue. He's co-authored scientific papers with Shezeng Li and gone bat sampling with her. And he's funded her research with grants from Anthony Fauci's NIH. His very involvement in the World Health Organization investigation was an extreme conflict of interest.
Bring it down. Okay. More information. So here's a question. If someone lies to you, lies to the world about one thing, are they a liar? Are they going to be honest about everything else they say? Would the Chinese government at this moment be honest about everything that they've done? No. All you're going to get is lies. Why does the American political system, this administration, and the media protect China? Could it be due to its relationships with major corporations doing business with China? We have a list. I have a list of over 100 major corporations, Walmart, many others, who do business or buy their products. Apple. You're talking about big-time corporations with big-time lobbyists and former legislators and former heads of departments like the FDA and the CDC that they can call upon to go in and convince legislators not to do investigations, not to accuse China of something. And at the same time, look what China is doing to its Uyghurs. Over 2.5 million people imprisoned, harassed. Look at what they're doing to the freedom movement and in Hong Kong, arresting everyone. But somehow, in all their environmental disasters and heating up the planet at the worst level in history, that's the latest report. I'll get that tomorrow on an environmental segment we're doing. But we're supposed to suddenly believe them on this one issue. They haven't lied. But what about going beyond where we're at now? We're about three steps ahead of everyone else. Don't be surprised if you hear someone on this program this week, once we have confirmed, independently confirmed, important data, that they've been lying about everything all along, and it was the intent to create a biological weapon. Boy, how would that affect the world, and who would then be responsible for all the carnage? What would you do politically then? You'd be in a catch-22. Let's say hello to Ed from Los Angeles. Hi, Ed. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for all the work you do. My mom had coronavirus last year. She was 82 years old. In the first 7 days, she was headed for death. She was in the hospital, and Newton Wellesley did the right thing. They gave her hydroxychloroquine at 200 milligrams. It saved her life, and she's alive and well today. Just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. But imagine this. Imagine if everyone in all hospitals were given ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine and zinc with both, because zinc's what's really doing the job. But you weren't given that. Not only were you not given that, doctors in Canada in particular were threatened with the loss of their license. Tomorrow you're going to hear from four doctors from Canada, regular mainstream doctors, who have now been threatened with the loss of their license and being attacked personally. And you'll hear one of them say he's attacked by his own colleagues, and he's a top professor, medical doctor, scientist at one of the leading universities in Canada, all because he questioned why we have drugs like ivermectin and not allowing them to be used when the science shows they're beneficial. And for that, they want to throw him out of the university. They want to take away his medical license. They are attacking him, gaslighting him. And there are four that are going to be here on the program tomorrow. So when are we going to fight back? Oh, we've already started. Major lawsuits are in the offing. I'm backing one of those lawsuits with Robert Kennedy Jr. But how about the million people that showed up in Berlin? Not a word. How about the million people, or almost a million people, showed up not once, twice in London, peacefully? Not a word. Think they're trying to keep that information from you? Well, we're going to find out. Let's say hello to another person that's just called in. If they're still on the line, Bob from Brooklyn. Hi, Bob. Your turn.
Yeah. Hi, Gary. I have a brief comment and then two questions for you. As far as these crimes committed by the bureaucrats, the politicians, Fauci, the pharmaceutical companies, and the media, why are they getting away with it? Well, too many people want the injections. I'll just give you an example. I have a neighbor. She and her daughter know there's a risk. They took the Johnson & Johnson. They know there's a risk, but they like to go to casinos in Atlantic City and bars, and they say, well, it's more important that they get into those places and take the risk. Now, I have two questions. I don't have a computer, but I listen to you every day. I record a lot of your programs. Now, we don't have a central organization to coalesce those that are skeptical. Amnesty International is for human rights. The NRA is for gun rights. The ACLU is for civil liberties. I'm not aware that there's any central organization to organize our activities, to be skeptical and to question. The other question I have is, again, just related to this. We don't have a central organization. The other question is, I recorded all of your programs about the dangers of the spike protein. I have it all on regular tape, you know, audio tape. And I understand, and I believe totally in the dangers of the spike protein. But I got to play devil's advocate. Right now, if there's been that many people injured by the injections, vaccine injured, and if there's serious issues with cardiovascular, blood clots, and all of these things, why is it not right now at this point the hospital's not filling up with injured vaccine-injured people?
Okay, break it down into two segments. Legitimate question. First, you have not heard a word about all the young people having heart attacks, having different conditions, including brain conditions, lung conditions, kidney conditions, and heart conditions. You haven't heard a word. And yet they're there. They're in the statistics. That's why on the last show on Friday, Richard Gale detailed how, and I saw this, it's something you can see. We posted it where a person was going through the death certificates and online from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and suddenly you would see a young person, 30 years old, who had died the same day as getting the COVID vaccine, and it would be erased. So who has the capability of doing that erasing? Only the government. Why are they doing that? Then you look at the American Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, and we're showing over 6,000 headed towards 7,000 deaths, and we know that that could be at least 9 times that, over 50,000 deaths. But we had a report by an MD, PhD, who said that it would be a minimum of 25,000. But another person, university down in Texas, Baylor, I believe, said it was 50,000 dead. That means there'd be well over 1.5 million. But in the United States, our hospitals could easily handle the number of people who are experiencing these conditions, because the spike in the hospitalizations were the people who originally died were older and sicker with comorbidities, and that's when your hospitals were overflowing. Today, they're not overflowing. And partly it's because a lot of people are actually not coming into hospitals who need to be in hospitals because of cancer, diabetes, and other conditions that should be treated. In fact, one of the doctors mentioned that he was horrified when he found a patient was at home and had metastatic cancer. That should have been treated long before it became metastasized throughout the person's body. They were afraid to go to the hospital. They were afraid they'd die. So that's one issue. So you had your spike before, and now we're kind of flatlined. Secondly, and you're not going to see that big uptake. Secondly, a lot of the people who are getting adverse reactions are younger people, and the younger people have a stronger immune system. So let's just say that 100 people get the vaccine and 10% of them have an adverse reaction, or even 5%. Okay, so that's 5 or 10 out of 100, and they're dispersed around the United States. You're not going to see that in any of the spikes. But now add that up and then see how many people had adverse reactions but survived the adverse reaction, or how many people are going to have delayed reactions. One of the things that we commented upon last week in a commentary, if you remember, was that first we now can have proof that everything they said was misinformation. They said it would not shed. It's now shedding. That means that a vaccinated person actually can represent a threat to a non-vaccinated person. Secondly, they were vaccinating people who already had COVID and recovered, and therefore were compounding their immune system. And that means that getting a vaccine on top of having COVID could actually exacerbate your death with a hyper autoimmune condition. Thirdly, they said, well, the spike protein is going to be in your shoulder. Now we realize, and it's proof, that it's not just in the deltoid muscle. It's migrating throughout the body, including passing the blood-brain barrier, something they told us wouldn't happen. It happened. Then they told us that that it would not overwhelm our immune system. But what if you have 130 million Americans who already have a compromised immune system? Well, their immune system absolutely positively could be overwhelmed, but not all at once, not on the same day. You have to realize that you have immediate reactions within 48 hours, and then you have delayed reactions, and those delayed reactions could be 1, 2, 3, or even 7 years. So you have to look at the long haul, not the immediacy. But as of this morning, as far as the latest statistics that we have, and they're substantial, by the way, we just also found out, quote, confidential documents reveal Moderna sent RNA coronavirus vaccine candidate to university researchers weeks before emergence of COVID-19. That's interesting. How would they have known which vaccine to send? We also now know from reports just this last week and a person who I've interviewed, you'll hear, that he is finding, and he's one of the top virologists in the world, and that the vaccines are not matching. The genetic sequence is not matching. So if it doesn't match, what could be the outcome? That's very dangerous. So these are serious things, and now they want to use Africa to become the testing ground for a trust stamp. You heard it first here today. Trust, T-R-U-S-T, stamp. That means you have a vaccine record and a biometric digital payment system. All right? Raul Diago just did a brilliant article about the biometric digital identity platform that evolves just as you evolve. And it's set up to be introduced in low-income remote communities in West Africa. And that's all because of Bill Melinda Gates and the Gavi Vaccine Alliance and MasterCard, an artificial-empowered identity authentication company, Trust Stamp. The program, which was first launched back in late 2018, will see Trust Stamp digital identity platform integrated into the Gavi MasterCard Wellness Plus. So you're going to be tracked by artificial intelligence. And as a result, you don't know what information they're extracting nor what information they could possibly put into your body. You start to pull this back. And do you know that the University of Alabama at Birmingham just received a $3 million grant to investigate vaccine hesitancy, as if we are now the enemy, any of you who decide for whatever legitimate reasons not to be vaccinated? Maybe you've already gotten COVID and don't need it. Maybe there's some medical condition you have that you can't not have it medically. Doesn't matter. You're all enemies of the state, and so they're going to find out who you are. And just one example of that is what they're doing there. Anyhow, the latest figures out of Europe is over 16,000 known dead, and their figures are more accurate than ours in the United States. And it's horrific, all right? And over 1.3 million injured, all right? So that's serious. So you see, you got to look at the long term, not just immediate, and then you'll see the consequences, and that's what all of us are really scared about. I hope that answers your question. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and tomorrow I'll get to the other reports I didn't have a chance to, including my commentary on the FBI and what it's been engaged in and what it's doing now that you all should be concerned about. Everyone should be concerned about what they're doing now, but they're not, and probably nothing will happen. But we'll still talk about it. Have a nice day, everybody.